Thank you. Okay, today we are looking at the second part of 1 Samuel chapter 30. And last week we looked at the first 15 verses. And today we are looking at from verses 16 to 31. And the theme for today's study is the second part of last week, which is David's wives captured by the Amalekites. So that is what we are going to look at today. Shall we begin? In the previous study, we saw the pains that David and his men went through when the Amalekites took away their wives, children, and their livestock, and how the Lord assured David that he will recover everything that was taken. The study for today highlights the battle of David and his men against the Amalekites when they found them celebrating the bounty they had taken from many cities, including that of David and his men. They fought the Amalekites from the sunrise until the sunset, defeated them, and retrieved all their wives, children, and belongings which were taken by the Amalekites. The study ends with the distribution of the bounty from the Amalekites. So let's start with David defeats the Amalekites. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 16. And when he had brought him down, behold, they, that is the Amalekites, were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. In the previous study, it was mentioned that David and his men met an Egyptian during their pursuit of the Amalekites, who had taken captives, the Amalekites who had taken captives, the wives of David and his men and their livestock. That's in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 11. And they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water. This Egyptian represents the people of this world whom the Lord uses to help us, his elect, to come to know more about our flesh, the Amalekites, and to war against the flesh. The fact that these Amalekites had taken from David and his men their wives and livestock implies that we are overcome by our flesh before we are given to war against it. We can see here in verse 16 that when the Egyptian led David and his men to the Amalekites, they found them spread abroad upon all the earth. This is to show us that our flesh has been given power over all the kindred and tongues and nations. Revelation chapter 13, verse 7 and 8. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose name are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. One of the key characteristics of those overcome by the flesh is their focus on eating, drinking, and making merry, as we see the Amalekites eating, drinking, and dancing because of the great spoil, as shown in verse 16. Luke chapter 12, verse 15 to 19 says, as talking about Jesus, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And he spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful, plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits." And he said, "This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat and drink, and be merry.'" The Greek Paul, being taken from the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah, signifies how the people of this world and the church system of this world, or Babylon, of which we were part of at a certain stage of our walk, have all been taken captive by the flesh. Revelation chapter 13, verse 7 to 9. Again, he says that it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindred and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose name are not written in the book of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. And if any man have an ear, let him hear. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 17. And David smote them from the twilight, even unto the evening of the next day. And there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. Through the suffering we go through, our flesh is destroyed. The fact that David smote the Amalekite from sunrise to the evening of the next day means it took about 2 days to destroy the Amalekites. The number two signifies being a witness. This implies that it takes the whole life of an elect as a witness to overcome the flesh, which is signified by the Amalekites. Isaiah chapter 22, verse 13 and 14. And behold, joy and gladness, slaying oxen, killing sheep, eating flesh and drinking wine. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we shall die. And it was revealed in my ears by the Lord of hosts, surely this iniquity shall not be purged from you till you die, says the Lord God of hosts. And that's the mantra of the people of this world, just enjoyment, gets to, yeah, behold, joy, gladness, eating, drinking, making merry, that is all that it is. And this form of iniquity is of the flesh, and the flesh has to die before this can be taken out from us. As shown here in Isaiah 22:14, we are told that iniquity is only destroyed through the death of the flesh. The iniquity mentioned relates to having enjoyment as our goal in this life. This runs contrary to the life of suffering that is marked out for the life for the Lord's elect in this age. Let's look at the Lord Jesus' example. We can see that he learned obedience by the things which he suffered in this life. As he is, so are we. Our calling is therefore not a life of enjoyment. It is a life of sacrifice as we offer our bodies as living sacrifice to the Lord. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 to 9. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. It is worth noting that 400 young men who rode camels escaped the sword of David and his men. This is to let us know that although the influence of our flesh may be destroyed in our lives, we still bear our flesh until death. The destruction of our flesh through the Lord's judgment refers to the destruction of our sinful desires. However, the physical flesh is only destroyed through physical death. All humanity, except the Lord's elect, shall be judged during the second resurrection because they still retain the carnal mind of the flesh, which is destroyed through judgment. Although their flesh is already dead, physical flesh is already dead. If we remain in this life when Christ appears, we shall be changed as our physical flesh shall be completely destroyed and shall put on a body just like Christ's body. That is when the incorruptible shall put on incorruption. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52 to 55. In a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy strength? O grave, where is thy victory? 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 18 and 19. And David recovered all the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil, nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. David recovering all that the Amalekites took away is to remind us that when we go through the fire, the Lord shall preserve us together with all that is of our interest. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1 to 4. But now, that says the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou pass through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walk through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. The story of Jacob, who lost everything as he went through the Lord's judgment, is a reminder to us that the Lord is indeed a restorer. It may seem at the time of our trial that we have lost it all, but in the fullness of time, the Lord will surely show up. To my brothers and sisters all over the world who are going through all kinds of challenges regarding their physical bodies, resources to live, their relationship, etc., the Lord has not forsaken us. He will surely come to our aid at the right time. Job chapter 42, verse 10 to 15. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she asses. She had also 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he called the name of the first Jemima, and the name of the second Kezia, and the name of the third Karen Apoch. And in all the land were no woman found so fair or beautiful as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. The distribution of the spoil at 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 20. And David took all the flock and the herds, which they drove before those other cattle, and said, "This is David's spoil." In the ancient times, there was always the bounty that comes to the victor in the battlefield. That is why we are urged by the Lord that we shall reap if we do not faint. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The well-doing here in verse in Galatians 6, 8 also refers to our patience in suffering, which comes with a reward. David's spoil represents our reward if we are able to overcome our flesh in this age, like David conquered the Amalekites. This spoil is the joy that was set before Jesus, which was a motivating factor in his desire to endure the cross. It is also what motivated Moses to leave the comfort of his palace in Egypt to lead the people of the Lord in the wilderness journey. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 to 26. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 21 to 22. And David came to the 200 men who were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Besor. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near the people, he saluted them. Then answered all the wicked men and men of Belial, of those that went with David, and said, "Because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart." As indicated in the previous study, the 200 men left behind, together with the 400 men that went to war with David against the Amalekites, all represent the Lord's elect. The fact that the 200 men were not able to go to war, they stayed at the brook of Besor because they were faint and could not go beyond the brook, means that we are all given different capabilities as the Lord's elect. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 to 8 says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one, and every members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exalts on exaltation, and he that gives, let him do it with simplicity, and he that rules with diligence, he that shows mercy with cheerfulness." In the final analysis, we all receive the same reward as shown to us by the Lord in the book of Revelation chapter 1 and 2. where those who overcome shall be rewarded. For example, Revelation chapter 2, verse 26 to 27 says, "And he that overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessel of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." As shown in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 22, when we are carnal, we think like the people of this world. We equate reward with who equates reward with their own strength and or effort, as we see the wicked and billionaire men not wanting to share the same reward with the 200 men left at the brook of Besor. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 23 to 25. Then said David, "You shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord has given us, who has preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hands. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goes down to the battlefield, so shall his part be that tarries by the staff. They shall part alike." And it was so from that day forward that he made a statute and an ordinance for Israel unto this day. In verse 23, David stated that their victory over the Amalekites was due to the Lord's intervention, as he preserved them and delivered them from the hands of the Amalekites. As we are aware, if our victory is by our own effort, then we deserve to be rewarded according to our efforts. However, everything that we do is of the Lord, and therefore it is not by our effort. That is why we must receive the same reward. Luke chapter 10, verse 7 says, "And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worth of his hire. Go not from house to house." All these verses, these two verses, are just to show you that it is by our effort that we are able to get to overcome the flesh, then indeed we have to be rewarded according to our effort. But that is not so. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 18 says, "For the scripture says, thou shalt not muzzle an ox that treads out the corn, and the laborer is worth of his reward." Yes. Here in verse 24-25, David told his men that the share of those who went to battle must be the same as those who stayed by the luggage. It became a decree in Israel governing the spoil from victories won over their enemies. This reflected the mind of Christ concerning the reward, his reward for his elect. The fact that we are all going to receive the same reward should not be a disincentive to us to stop working in the Lord's vineyard, thinking that after all, we shall all receive the same reward. As we can see from the parable of the talents, it is the one who had one talent who thought that he does not have much to offer and therefore concealed what he had. As a result, he did not receive any reward. This must be a warning to us, his elect, that we should not think that we do not have something to offer the body of Christ. Everybody has something to offer. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 to 23. "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man travels into a far country who called his servants and delivered them unto his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to everyone according to the several ability, and straightway took his journey. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, Here I'm focusing on the one who had one talent. The others, they were able to do what they was, I mean, what was required, and they were able to double what they had. But we are focusing here on one talent. But he that has received one went and dig in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came, come and reckons with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou hast said unto me five ta that has delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. I want you to remember that enter thou into the joy of thy Lord is the reward. And it's the same with the one with the 2 talents. And also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou delivered unto me 2 talents. Behold, I've gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. So we are going to be rulers. And then enter into down to the joy. The joy is the same as the reward that we have talked about. So this it's the same for the one with the 2 and then the 5 talent. However, verse 24 of Matthew chapter 25 says, then he who had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talents in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not strawed. Thou ought therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him that has 10 talents. For unto everyone that has shall be given, and he that he shall have abundance, and from him that has not shall be taken away from him that which he has. And cast ye the unprofitable servants into outer darkness, they shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So the problem is always those that they feel that they don't have anything to offer, but God has made us say that. I mean, all of us have, it might be as minute as something, but we have something to offer. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 26 to 31. And when David came to Ziklag, he went to the spoil unto the elders of Judah, even to his friends, saying, behold, a present for you of the spoil of the enemies of the Lord, and to them which were in Bethel, to them which were in South Ramoth, and to them which were in Jatha, and to them which were in Ara, and to them which were in Siphmoth, and to them which were in Estemoa, and to them which were in Rahel, and to them which were in the cities of the Jazelmithites, and to them which were in the cities of Kenites, and to them which were in Homa, and to them which were in Corashan, and to them which were in Attach, and to them which were in Hebron, and to all the places where David himself and his men went to hunt. In these verses above, we see David sending the spoil of the to the elders of Judah and his friends. It is instructive to note that all the cities mentioned in verses 27 to 31, where David sent the spoil, were cities in Judah. This is to show us that in the fullness of time, our victory as the Lord's elect shall result in the relief or salvation of our brothers and sisters in the church system of this world or Babylon. Therefore, we, his elect, represented by David, we are the saviors of the world or the sons of God which shall be revealed to the world in the fullness of time. Obadiah chapter 1, verse 21. And Savior shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Revelation chapter 8, verse 19 to 22 says, Romans chapter 8, verse 19 to 23 says, for the creation or the creature waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself shall be set free from the bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been grooming together in the pains of childbirth, on the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, we have the first fruit of the Spirit, groomed inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. It is important to note that from the word of the Lord, our brothers and sisters in Babylon shall be the last on the line to be saved. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 55. When thy sisters, Sodom, and her daughters shall return to their former estates, and Samaria and her daughters shall return to their former estate, then thou and thy daughters shall return to your former estate. May his name be praised for his wonderful plan of salvation. Amen.